From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
You can make $1 million in a weekend, and not in some sketchy get-rich-quick scheme kind of way. In a conceptualize a real business that creates real cash flow that can generate more than $1 million in a weekend. This is a very lofty claim, which is probably why it got a lot of attention, especially when it was put into book form in a book called Million Dollar Weekend. Book did incredibly well. I happen to be friends with the author. His name is Noah Kagan. And I've been meaning to talk with Noah about this book because, well, this guy really does know how to build businesses and how to make things that make money. Let me just have him introduce himself.
Hey, it's Noah Kagan.
Fantastic.
But I guess in the business
context, add a little more to it. Yeah.
Yeah, the spicy stuff. I had a day job at Intel, became number 30 at Facebook to help build, and was number 4 at Mint.com. Started a lot of different businesses until I was able to found AppSumo.com, which today will do almost $100 million a year in revenue. It's the number one site online for software deals.
Noah Kagan, no dummy, has accomplished a lot. Really got to pull it out of him in an intro. Anyway, like I said, I had wanted to talk to Noah about his book, Million Dollar Weekend, for a while. And then the opportunity really presented itself because Entrepreneur, in its May-June issue, has this fun theme we called How to Unlock Your First $1 Million. It's right there on the cover. How to unlock your first $1 Million, where we're engaging with the question of where $1 Million comes from. And in all sorts of ways, we talked to a lot of entrepreneurs who had $1 Million unlocks. Like, what did it take to unlock that first million in their business? Really interesting stories. We talked to someone who learned how to raise $1 million, what it takes to actually get somebody to fork over $1 million to a university in that case. We talked about the way in which earning $1 million opens up different meeting opportunities, who starts to be more interested in you because of it. Anyway, lots of stuff. And I thought talking to Noah about the $1 million weekend, really fitting. So that's what we did. You can find an edited version of the conversation in that issue on Stands Now. Go find it. But here on the podcast, you're going to hear the full conversation because Noah said a lot more than I could squeeze into a page on a magazine. So the first thing I wanted to know from Noah was, this is a big claim. $1 million in a weekend? What does that even mean?
Yeah, people don't realize that they can actually start things and get it going in a very short amount of time without a lot of money. And I've done it time and time again. And I've seen now that the book is out, people are doing it time and time again. There's a guy named Pat Gosztyk. He's literally on the back of the book. He had a day job in Poland doing customer support. And within 4 months, he now has a $25,000 a month consultancy helping people do video editing. I've seen Mackenzie Seal. She had a job at Warby Parker in New York. And she had a dream to be an entrepreneur. And she launched a greeting card business following $1 million weekend that in one her first year did $50,000. And so I never promised people will become a millionaires in the weekend, but they will have the process and the ability to launch something that will get them to the $1 million and beyond. So the proof is more in the results than me talking theory.
I wanted to hear Noah talk some theory anyway. So here's what we're going to do on this episode of Problem Solvers. I'm having Noah walk me through some of the major steps that someone should take over the course of a weekend to launch a $1 million business. And we're getting into some interesting fundamentals about sales and his philosophy there, but also, well, how to find opportunity and what it really takes to move forward. We'll be hearing some of those examples and more of them, but also just the foundational things that anyone should be thinking about. And even if you know how to start a business, even if you have started a business, it's really useful to step back and think through what, at its core, are the most important things that you do. And maybe, how can you use the next weekend to do even more? Coming up after the break. Entrepreneurs, we all love a problem solver. So did you know that Hertz Rental Car has a free membership program to help small and mid-sized businesses save whenever they hit the road? It's called Hertz Business Rewards. Sign up in minutes and save at least 20% every time you rent a car. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. Hertz Business Rewards has your back. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable towards free rental days. It's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers are coming along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3x credits during your first 90 days. Problem solved. Join for free at hertz.com/business rewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit hertz.com/business rewards to learn more. All right, we're back. I'm talking with my friend Noah Kagan. He is the founder of AppSumo.com and also the author of this book, Million Dollar Weekend. And I started by asking Noah, can you define $1 million? A weird thought, but if we're talking about $1 million weekend, what does the goal here really look like?
Cash money profit. That means you're not a fake YouTuber telling people you're a millionaire when that's really your house is worth $1 million, but after the mortgage, it's worth $100. It's creating a business that can generate $1 million in profit for you to take home over some period of time. Now, the other thing that I also encourage people to think about is you don't need $1 million to live $1 million lifestyle. And really about entrepreneurship is finding confidence and creating an awesome life through entrepreneurship.
Which goes very much to your freedom number concept. You want to explain
that? When I was working at Mint.com, I didn't really actually like it, even though I did a great job of it. And I realized if I could create a number that I could do what I really wanted, I could leave Mint and really live the life I wanted. And this is something that has been empowering for literally tens of thousands of people, their freedom number. It's figuring out the number you need to actually do the thing you want. And what's mind-blowing about it, the part that's really crazy, is the number is always lower than people think, and it's more achievable than they expected. And that's really empowering, because once you get to go and do the thing, so for me, it was always $3,000. Once I was able to get that with AppSumo.com, I quit my day job, same at Mint. I quit Mint when I hit my number to build Facebook games. And then when I had a day job after that at SpeedDate, I hit the number again, and I quit that to do AppSumo. And then when you're actually doing the thing you want, one, life is awesome, but two, that's how you can actually do what you want. And ultimately, I think you'll actually end up making even more money than you expect. The cool part of entrepreneurship, there's no limit to the upside. A day job, when you have a W-2, you're capped.
When we look at the traffic at entrepreneur.com, one of the best trafficked kinds of stories are business ideas. For years and years, the story that would top our annual traffic roundup was something that was called something. So the headline was like, need a business idea? Here are 52. And it was literally just a list of business ideas. And that has told me something, which is that there is a desire among many people to start a business. What you just said a second ago, I think people get it. If I'm a salaried employee, I'm capped. If I start my own business, there's infinite growth potential. But then the next step is, okay, what's the business? Where's the idea come from? And that's where people instantly get lost. And when they start searching for articles with headlines like, need a business idea here, 52. So when you're saying $1 million business in a weekend, I obviously that's not stand up a business that's driving $1 million in profit in a weekend, but it is starting the foundations of that. The foundations of it for many people start with the idea. Ideas often feel difficult to develop, take a lot of time. You got to be talking to a lot of people. You got to test a lot of things. You got to iterate. Give me the way in which you feel like people really should be starting if their end goal here is to build a cash flow positive, successful business.
I think the ideas are bullshit. Ideas are bullshit. If there's so many great fucking articles out there with business ideas, there's literally, look, go on YouTube and search, there's millions of the ideas. Then if it's all out there, how come people haven't become millionaires? Or how come people haven't had success in entrepreneurship? And the reality is, it's not the idea that's the problem. It's that the person is afraid. And that's easier to watch the video or read the article and idea and just go back to your day-to-day living or go back to Netflix. What's really holding people back, and I identify this in the book through literally myself and tens of thousands of other people, is that most people are afraid of starting and they're not ready, which is not true. And they're not prepared to ask people to be their customer. or to be their employee or to give them feedback on that idea. And so instead of thinking about the idea, what people need to do is think about the problems. And you start getting excited about problems, and now you're talking about opportunities. And if you can practice starting and if you can practice asking, then as you start getting into the, I call it the customer first approach, you start just being like, holy shit, the ideas don't matter. That stuff's bullshit. If I can get better at starting, if I get better at asking, and I get excited about these problems, now you're starting to follow the $1 million weekend process, which will lead you down the path versus, I can't tell you how many people I've met now, and they read Entrepreneur, they've bought the books, they've bought the courses, and 2 years later, they've got no progress.
Yeah. What you're fundamentally saying here is ideas are nothing without execution. So the question then is, how do you execute? Of course.
Yeah. So I can, yeah, the
Tell
execution
me. Yeah,
is actually
where are we gonna go?
Very easy too. So the way that you look at this is, and the reason I say it in a weekend, Jason, you have a wife and a kid. Do you have two kids or one?
Two kids. Yeah.
You're busy.
Busy. Don't have a lot of time.
Hey. And you don't have a lot of time. And so
right.
the two components of how do we build a skill, right? And I think that's people who miss out on entrepreneurship. It is a skill that's development, just like learning a language, that the more that you practice it, the better it gets. So the skill of starting is the phrase that's gone famous from the book is now, not how. So if you're thinking about a business, how what are the things you can do right now, especially if you got a family? How can you do things in a weekend? So let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
If you were interested in starting a business, you're like, what can I do today? You're like, oh shit, what do you mean today? It's, yeah, why don't I give up one Netflix show and change my life?
Mm-hmm.
And you start realizing like, okay, maybe I don't need the domain. Maybe I don't need to buy Shopify. Maybe I don't need to read another article. If I want to help someone, let's just take with email marketing. Huh, is there one person I can contact right now and say, hey, I'm really good at this email marketing. I went through your emails. Here's three things you could change. Would you want to be one of my first customers? You're like, yeah, you could do that right now. You don't need more schooling. You don't need a certificate approval to be able to do that. And I do it in the book through a dollar challenge where I literally pay people to read $1 million Weekend. And the whole point of that is that by practicing starting and doing things right away, you start realizing that that is facing the fear of starting. That is getting your courage. And that is ultimately building your confidence. And as you get to become a better starter, you start thinking, huh, let me start it on businesses that I'm excited about. Now, the second part of this whole process, that there's an exact process to keep following, is how do you get better at asking? And that's really the fundamentals of business. Like all the billionaires I've interviewed or worked for, a lot of them will say the best skill to learn is sales.
Yeah.
And what is sales? Sales is an ask. And so how do you, in the book, I teach the coffee challenge, which is globally famous about asking for a discount, getting rejected, realizing rejection's not so bad. And then you ask again, and then you ask again, and then eventually you start getting what you want.
Going to a coffee shop and asking the barista for a discount on the coffee?
Yes. And I, for clarity, I want people to get rejected. Some people are like, why are you trying to take advantage of the store? No. I want the rejection.
Yeah.
I want people to realize rejection can be a great learning opportunity and fun. And as you start practicing it, I literally had this woman, Kim, email me yesterday. And she said, hey, I'm a professional. I didn't want to do this. I thought it was silly, but I did it and I was terrified. And I said, great, Kim, what did you learn about yourself? She was, it was not as scary as I thought, and I'm more capable than I expected. What's next? And a great example in a business example is this guy, David Whitlock. David emailed me as well last week. David has a 1,000-person mailing list about Porsche vintage prices.
Great.
Which I was like, dude, hell yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not into cars. I have a 2004 Miata. I'm not a car guy.
Yeah.
And
so niche. There are people out there for whom they're like, thank you, finally. Someone made
yes.
this.
Well, and I think that's a great, and I'll complete the story, is that
yeah.
you can have big wealth without a big social media presence or without a big network necessarily. And so David has this 1,000-person email list. And because he's practicing starting and because he's practicing asking, he sent an email to his audience. He's like, hey guys, I got an ask for you. You guys seem to love my newsletter. I have a lot of data on prices. Does anyone want it? It's $400. And David, in one email, in one day, was able to do almost $10,000 in sales.
It's awesome.
Because he asked. And if you ask and you don't get, that's why I teach rejection. Great. You can ask them, why do they not want it? And you can learn. And as you keep doing this over and over and you keep following this process, you keep getting better and better until you eventually get a business and a problem that people are excited to give you money for. And you're on your $1 million path.
Let me ask you a question about asking. Because the thing that holds people back from asking, there is, you're right, the discomfort with the action. If you get over that, I think the next fear is, how many asks do you really get? Especially if you've built an audience, if you have people who you can reach, how many times do you get to ask them? How many things can you put in front of them? At what point do people just feel, this person just keeps trying to sell me stuff? What's your answer to that?
Most people don't have audiences. So I think that's generally not, that's a great problem to have.
Sure. But let's shrink that down. Let's shrink that down, because this guy built a newsletter of 1,000 people. You could have just a social network in your community, and you could have a professional network. Just whoever it is that you're able to reach.
Let me give you two very clear tactics to copy that'll work in both in these instances. If you're nervous or afraid, mm-hmm. you can follow these people. Number one, I call it the survey to sale method. You can communicate with people through a survey, asking them questions about themselves and learning the problems they have, learning the things about Porsche. Hey, let's take David. He didn't do the survey to sale method. He just asked. And I'll tell you that the second strategy thing is almost better. Mm-hmm. The survey to sale, when I was doing my book, for instance, when I was doing Million Dollar Weekend, I sent a survey and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing a book tour worldwide. Where do you think I should do the book tour? And then people would fill out the survey. And then everybody who filled out the survey, I personally emailed and I said, hey, you seem like you're interested in me speaking here. Are you interested in buying my book? And the survey method, what you're looking for, and this is really inspired by Seth Godin from Permission Marketing, is I'm looking for people to tell me problems that I can solve. And that survey, even though it sounds silly, was people saying, hey, I think I'm interested in your book. And so I just asked them, hey, are you interested in pre-ordering the book and joining my launch team? And it was like an 85% conversion rate.
Wow.
And so surveying is a way of people basically identifying their problems. And if you can help them, which is really what business is, I think people make it this big, scary thing, but you're helping someone else. If I could help you, you're excited to give me money for helping on a problem you're identifying. Now, the other approach you can do if you're concerned about annoying people and it is don't bother all of them, just talk to one of them. And with bigger businesses, a lot of times what you do is you'll do A/B testing, which is instead of showing it to everybody, you show it to portions. And then based on that portion and statistics, you can roll it out to everyone. You could do that same thing if you have a 100-person email list. Get on the phone or send out a sale to 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if 10 of them buy, great. If they don't, then you could try something else. And so at AppSumo, we call this test and invest. So instead of ever really spending a lot of money on new ideas, can we go test it? For instance, we're launching a new VIP package for AppSumo. And we're going to do all these things in it. But instead of building any of it, we're literally going to send it out to like 1% to 2% of our VIP customers to say, hey, we're going to build this thing. Does anyone want to pre-order it? And if no one buys it, great. We can ask them why not. And if they buy it, great. Now we can actually deliver it on, and then launch it to the rest of the audience.
Really smart. Noah, you say to use a 1-minute business model to ensure you have $1 million opportunity. The reason I'm bringing this up now is because where we've drifted into is into the question of how do I know that I'm doing something that's going to be successful? How do I know how do I know that I'm on the right path? So talk to me about that.
You know, I like this example is most people, when they ask me about getting rich and what it's like to be rich or and how to do these things, I always ask them like, how's their revenue? How's your business? And what it tends to be is they're not a millionaire because they have not become a dollarinaire. And I've got to highlight this point is that I talk a lot about the basics and fundamentals and talking to customers individually. But all that's, those are the things that have built AppSumo to become a $100 million a year business. And people are like, I'd like to have a business. Like, great, let's get $1. And then once you get 1, 2, 3, let's get 4, 5, 6. And these are the basics that build up to it. Now, specifically with this business model, Jason, you said you were sick. You said you have a wife and kid. You said you have a day job. You've got side hustles.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time. But we can change our life in a very short period of time. And that will add up. That'll compound with time. Now, the reality here is that there's two components of $1 million weekend process. Number one is, are you in $1 million or bigger opportunity? Right. And what the 1-minute business model does is you don't need to go to Harvard. You don't need to watch more videos, but very quickly, can you understand the economics? If I make $10 per item, per book I sell, per interview I do, per lawn I mow, whatever business you're creating, if I make $10 profit, how many do I have to sell to make $1 million cash? You have to sell 100,000. That's going to take you forever. So right. The point of the market research and specifically the 1-minute business model is just to understand the challenge of how many and how long that will take you to get there. So if you're going to do it, like, okay, maybe I need to make some changes. So a specific example that's pretty famous was the sumo jerky example, where I was selling jerky and I started it in a weekend just to show people that it's possible. Mm-hmm. And I was selling it one by one at $20 per pack. And let me be clear, I didn't have jerky at this point. I was just pre-selling.
I was just to see if people wanted it. Yeah.
To see if people want it. And if they, guess what? This is how everyone buys everything. Everyone buys things pre-sold. When you buy something on Amazon, how do you know it exists? You don't. When you get your Uber food delivered, how do you know it's from that restaurant? You don't. Your plane tickets, your event tickets, your hotel tickets. No, it exists. Tell me, do you know it exists? No, you don't. But the belief of the value was there. And so you were excited to pay for it. And if you weren't, that's great, because you didn't spend a lot of money and time on something no one wanted. And that's where people are getting backwards in all this business shit. They're doing something no one wants for too long, and they're not finding something that people actually really want, meaning you don't have to convince them, and then sticking with it long enough. So the 1 minute model, really, from that jerky example, I realized that selling individually sucks because it's going to take me forever to get to the sales I was trying to do that day. But if I sold to companies, and if I sold it in subscriptions, hey, can you pre-order for 6 months today? I was trying to make $1,000 profit in one day just to show people it's possible. That, the 1 minute business model, changed the game for me. And I've seen it now in tons of different other business areas, just understanding basic economics of your business and what dials you might need to change to make getting to $1 million easier.
After hearing all this, I want to tell you a little story, run a theory by you, have you react to it. All right. So the story is this. I was talking with Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank. And I said, Barbara, I love Shark Tank. I do. My wife and I watch Shark Tank every episode. But I said, there's one complaint that I have about Shark Tank. And the complaint, and it's built into the very nature of creating a show like this and putting it on television. So I'm not blaming Barbara for it. But the complaint is that it creates a narrative for aspiring entrepreneurs that to launch any kind of company, including random products, which is usually what's on Shark Tank, you need an investor of the scale and skill of Barbara Corcoran or Mark Cuban or whoever. Because these people are there and they're saying, they come in, they often have some amount of sales, sometimes it's not very much, and they're saying, we need you to help accelerate this business. And I said, Barbara, the complaint I have about Shark Tank is that it fosters a narrative that someone needs an investor in order to become an entrepreneur. She totally agreed with me. She said, yes, this is a real problem. And that, like, most people don't understand that in the real world, the kinds of entrepreneurs who are usually on Shark Tank would never, ever get an investor of the likes of the people who are sitting in front of them. It's just not what they invest in. It's just, none of it makes sense, except that it makes sense on television. Anyway, that's the story. The theory that comes out of it is that when people are thinking about starting a business, they in their minds, fast forward a few paces to what are the larger things that I would need in this business in order for it to be successful. I would need an investor. I would need a store. I would need a functional website. I would need whatever it is. And they don't know how to bridge the gap between where they're standing right now and those things that they imagine in the future they need. And that's where they get stuck, and that's where nothing happens. What I've been hearing from you the entire time that we've been talking, and what I think the foundation of Million Dollar Weekend is stop thinking that way. That actually the most important things in building the business are not paces ahead. They are whatever is actually possible within your grasp this very second. Respond.
When people realize that all they need is themselves and the willingness to face some discomfort in a weekend, they could change their life. That is the most empowering thing that anyone can do on this planet. It's finding out who they can become. And some of the problem with Shark Tank or YouTube or a lot of the courses and things that are out there is people want to create these gaps. And the gaps create opportunities to sell people things. That's the crazy part. It's to sell them the belief that they're not ready or they're not the person that can do this. And the reality is there's a lot of dumb, really dumb people making a lot of money. Very dumb. Very, very dumb. And when you start realizing that these people are no better than you, but the only difference is that they just started and they kept starting and they kept starting and they kept starting and eventually they got there. You realize that, I can do this too. And that's what I've seen. This Million Dollar Weekend for me is my own journey of feeling inadequate, feeling like, can I ever do this? Feeling that success is not available for me and realizing it's possible and we can all take that power back in our own lives. And I think you don't need any investor. You don't need any co-founder. You just need a weekend and the willingness to face yourself. And I think Shark Tank's cool. Shark Tank it's a show, right? It's not reality. The reality is 99% is work. And 1% is when you come on and you dance around and hopefully these people give you money.
And that work just to put a fine point on it, and I appreciate what you just said here. And as a final thought, I just want to unpack that word work for a second for you. The work is throwing yourself into the things that are seemingly uncomfortable, but less uncomfortable once you start doing them. The work is the constant iteration that you need to understand what people need and how to deliver it to them. How do you define the work?
It's funny. It's not what you're thinking, but work is believing that you can live a certain type of life. That's work, that you have to actually believe, maybe I don't have to go to work and just show up to these Zoom meetings. Maybe I can live abroad the way I want. And then the work is taking the step today to start making that reality happen, because it won't happen overnight. It'll take some time to do that. And that's also exciting. Like, how cool is it that you could spend your day interviewing people like you do, and you write content about entrepreneurship and you're creating communities? Or if your work is, I have a YouTube kid, a 21-year-old who is, his whole YouTube channel is job shadowing people. He's like, I wanted to job shadow an entrepreneur. And realizing just starting today will help you get to that place. And I'm amazed that, like, my career is making YouTube videos, running AppSumo.com, and being a father. That's my job. This is a pretty sweet gig. And then I'm noticing that most people don't realize that they can do that themselves in their own way. And that's a lot of what I encourage. Like, all right, let's figure it out this weekend. Some of the work, I would say, for examples, I had a boot camp this weekend for free. And there was a guy in it named Brian. And Brian is a software engineer, super, super smart. And engineers, they always build stuff, which is backwards. They need to find customers and then build. And I was complaining, and all complaints, by the way, are business opportunities. Mm. Everything that sucks, everything you're spending money on that you think is too expensive, they're all problems that are actually just opportunities in disguise. And eventually, as you get better at it, they're not in disguise anymore. So his work this weekend was, I complained about being able to have a software for the boot camp to make it easier to manage. And I said, hey, I'll pay $1,000. He didn't talk to me at all after that. And then Sunday at 2:00, he's like, hey, I built what you were talking about. I don't know if it's what you want. I don't even know if you're going to like it, but I at least was willing to do the work to lead me to the place I want to go. And I sent him the $1,000 and I bought the software. And it was just a cool, interesting moment about at least taking the chance on yourself, at least giving it a shot, at least saying, hey, I have this dream life. Let me try it. And if it doesn't work, great. I have another weekend.
No, Kagan, you are a wise man. I appreciate you sharing all this with us. And that's our episode. I would love to hear what you think, and maybe even about a problem that you solved. You can find me at my website, jasonfeifer.com, JASONFEIFER.com. Also, I have some more useful stuff for you. I write a newsletter about how to future-proof yourself and become more adaptable and optimistic. I would love for you to sign up. It is at jasonfeifer.bulletin.com. Also, check out my other podcast. It's called Build for Tomorrow. In each episode, I take on some belief that we have that holds us back from progress and show you why it is not as bad as you think. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media and comes out every Monday morning, so make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Thanks to Deepa Shah for production. My name is Jason Pfeiffer. See you next week.